have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Some people said that I wouldn't be here today, but Taylor with this week's gospel news. Lucinda Moore is a gospel singer, songwriter, and arranger with a big voice suited for leading large choirs. A native of Bridgeport, Connecticut, by her early teens, she was singing lead in local choirs. Her professional career began a few years later, receiving a position as backing vocalist for one of her influences, Tremaine Hawkins, a post she held for 5 years. After several more years of performing with multiple gospel vocal groups, large and small, including appearances with the Gospel Music Workshop of America, she self-released her first solo recording, an EP entitled Unlimited Praise, in 2004. That led to a spot on the Ty Scott Records roster. They issued her debut song, Lucinda Moore, in 2006. It landed in the top 20 of Billboard's gospel charts. In the meantime, she helped out on other artist recordings, including working on arrangements for 2006's Grateful by Coco, singing on 2007's Restoration by Eric McDaniel, an instrumental of Praise by Carmen, and appearing on various group worship and choir releases. Her follow-up solo project, 2010's Blessed, Broken, and Given, returned her to the gospel charts, where she reached number 13. Lucinda Moore won a Stellar Award in 2011 for Traditional Female Artist of the Year. The singer continued to perform live as she worked on more music and an autobiography entitled Turn Your Pressure into Praise. Dr. Maddie Moss Clark was a gospel choir director for most of her life and is often credited as one of the first to teach three-part harmony to a choir. Born in 1925 in Selma, Alabama, Clark relocated to Detroit, Michigan in 1958 and shortly thereafter organized the Southwest Michigan State Choir of the Church of God in Christ. In addition to being a songwriter, vocalist, pianist, arranger, and choir director, Clark was also president of the National Music Department of the Church of God in Christ for 25 years and founded the Clark Conservatory School of Music in Detroit. Over the years, Clark recorded with such artists as Elder James Moore, Vanessa Bell Armstrong, Elder James Lennox, Reverend Richard Mr. Clean White, and Betty Nelson. Dr. Clark also helped such artists as Walter Hawkins and Hezekiah Walker, Richard Smallwood, to get their careers started. Clark recorded more than 35 albums during her career and was one of the first gospel artists to receive a gold-certified album before passing away at the age of 69 on September 22, 1994, in Southfield, Michigan. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Each year, it aims to promote screening and prevention of the disease, which affects 1 in 8 women in the United States every year and 2.3 million women worldwide. Known best for its pink-themed color, The month features a number of campaigns and programs conducted by groups ranging from breast cancer advocacy organizations to local community organizations to major retailers. They are all aimed at supporting people diagnosed with breast cancer, including metastatic breast cancer, and educating people about breast cancer risk factors and stressing the importance of regular screening. You should start your screenings at the age of 40 or at an earlier age if your risk is high, like, for example, breast cancer in your family. If you need more information about Breast Cancer Awareness Month and breast cancer screening, check with your local doctor, or you can log on to breastcancer.org. That's breastcancer.org. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, Angel Taylor with Speak. Number 9, Anthony Brown and Group Therapy with Speak Your Name. 8, Feel All Right, Blessed, Erica Campbell. 7, Thank You, James Greer and Company, featuring Morette Brown Clark. 6, I Believe God, Ja'Kalen Carr. 5, It's Working, Todd Delaney and Hezekiah Walker. 4, Always Peace, Brian Courtney Wilson. 3, All Things, Kirk Franklin. Number 2, Heaven, Anthony David and Algebra Blessette. And number 1, Lord Do It For Me, Zacardi Cortez. Well, that's your top 10 gospel songs, your information about Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
Good evening, good evening. Good evening. Amen. Amen, amen. We thank the Lord for being on this evening. The bishop, I'm not sure if he's going to chime in or not, but it's myself, Elder Lauren Bishop Brown, and we have Overseer Henderson, who is with us this evening. Say hello, Overseer.
Amen. Good evening, good evening, good evening. So glad to be here. Pastor Henderson here with you. Thank you so much. Looking forward to the discussion tonight.
Amen. I'm going to bring us in with prayer, and then after that, we will get the discussion on the table. How about that? Father God, we just thank you on this evening for who you are, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for your headship, for your counsel, oh God, for the very love that you give us, oh God. We thank you, Lord. We reverence you, oh God. We celebrate you, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, for the use and activity of our limbs, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, for being able to formulate the words on this evening, oh God, so that we can expound upon the word and share and build each other up, oh God, through your word, oh God, which is your will. And Father God, we'll never take the credit for any of these things, oh God, because you deserve all the credit and all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen. All right, sister.
Amen.
So let's go back and do it. We'll do a quick recap, so to speak. Tell us what our topic was.
Our topic was we were talking about getting in shape spiritually, so, and we were comparing it to the natural man versus the spiritual man, and we had a scripture text found in 1 Timothy 4 and 8.
Amen. Thank you.
If you want me to read that, I could read that.
I would. Thank you very much.
Okay, and it says 1 Timothy 4 and 8, it says, bodily exercise profited little, But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is and of that which is to come.
Amen. Beautiful. What we can take away from that is that when we're so connected to the Lord, when we're so concerned about whatever is going on in our lives, that we take the time to surrender, put down things before him and tell him, you know what, Lord, I need you to handle this. I need you to work it out. And when we're when we are able to do that, that allows God not only to move in our natural body, but to move in our spiritual body, and that will give us a different outlook as to what we should be doing as far as getting in shape. You know, everybody has this, what do you call it, the New Year's resolution that they've made, or at least I used to do it back in the day, but it was just, it was a mockery. I'd make the, you know, New Year's resolution at 11:59 and forget it by 12:01 or 12:02. Me and a chocolate bar or chocolate something were having some sort of conversation, so I had to go back and realize that, you know, in making a vow, number one, you have to be serious about it. You have to be ready to carry it through. And also, when we take time to surrender those vows to the Lord in accordance with his will and his word, he will take us to the finish line, and he will allow us to finish well. And that's God's opportune situation for us. He wants us to do things, yes. He wants us to do things with decency and order. He wants us to be well. He wants us to be concerned about our body because, as we were discussing earlier, you know, overeating is a disease. Not eating is a disease. So those are things that attack the body, not only the natural body, but they attack your mind. And if your mind is not well-balanced and in a functioning manner, hello, then that invites the enemy to have a field day with us. And it's a time when we have to really not only mature, but give ourselves a little bit of grace. Because it's not always as easy as it seems, especially when it comes to getting in shape and changing your habit. Even if we're talking about the spiritual side of us, if you're not the type of person that is able to sit down and read the Bible for, you know, 10 or 15 minutes, then that's where you have to practice it and put it in, you know, into place that, you know what, Lord, I'm going to surrender this time to you. I'm going to spend 10 or 15 minutes with you. And then build on that each and every day. That way we're changing, but we're also allowing God to change us. It's not something where you want to, what do you call it, like rip the Band-Aid off, because, first of all, you didn't read the Bible all in one night. Maybe someone could, I'm not sure, but you didn't take in everything. So it's a process, and it's also a situation where we have to give ourselves, you know, time to accept change. Change is not always bad, but sometimes change is, it makes us standoffish, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
When you're going into new territory, it's just different. And our society is very, very judgmental about our body type, our body shape. And if you get in with the wrong crowd, you may even wind up, God forbid, doing more detriment to your physical body. Because, you know, there are so many different things that have come out now. What is it, that gastric bypass and the belly band and all those other things. And, yes, those are fixes for serious situations, but there's also a requirement that God has for us. He would like for us to ensure that, yes, we're living holy, but also that we think about the things that he would have us to think about. He doesn't want us worrying about our food and worrying about the clothes and the things of in those areas because he's making a way. And that's not supposed to be our central, you know, focus. Yes, if you have an issue as far as, but then, you know, take the time to get it together and go to the doctor. Not only the natural doctor, but go to your spiritual doctor. Yeah. And in that surrender again and allowing ourselves to get in shape and think about what we need to do and really allowing God to minister to us, because food can be a drug. Food can be an addiction. It really can be. Some people may not think so. You know, but unfortunately, speaking from experience, you know, when you're going through life situations, food is a comfort.
Yeah.
And that comfort comes in all sizes, shapes, and colors, God forgive me. It's available. Anytime.
Yes, it does.
It's normal, well, it does talk back because it does wind up on your hips, but you know what I mean. But it can be a stronghold. And the spirit of gluttony is not what the Lord. Amen. Go ahead.
And, you know, sis, I was thinking, as you were saying that, so many times people never really think about food as being an addiction. So what happens is that they just keep doing it. It could be popcorn or it could be chocolate or it could be ice cream. And they never think that it's really an addiction because it's just they just feel like it's a comfort food and I'm just enjoying this because, you know, or for whatever reason. But when you become undisciplined is when you are controlled by it.
Yeah.
You can't do without it. You're getting up in the middle of the night, going out to get ice cream from the gas station, and you're going out to do, you know, you're extending yourself. And that's when you begin to recognize that this is a habit that needs to be broken. And, you know, when it gets to the place where you're not in control any longer, and I have known people that have gotten up in the middle of the night and went out and got stuff because they just had to have it, you know, and then they ate all of it when they got it. And it's like, okay, then they realize that, okay, this thing is controlling me and I'm not controlling it.
Yeah.
God wants us to be disciplined.
Yes, and he wants us to have self-control. And let me tell you a quick testimony. It's not a testimony, but it's an incident. It was kind of funny. One summer when Jordan went off to band camp, so that meant I was here by myself, and I was babysitting one of my friend's children. And, yes, we did. We were watching movies and whatever else. So we went out to Dairy Queen. It had to be 10 or 11 o'clock at night here in Connecticut. Went out to Dairy Queen, got to Dairy Queen, had a good time and whatnot. And I knew I wasn't supposed to have it, but I had it anyway. Do you know that on my way back from the car, I was hit by a car?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, hey, Lord, I know I'm guilty, but seriously, and I believe it was just a coincidence, but I was like, wow, you went out of your way, got dressed, went out, went and got the ice cream, made sure the little girl had ice cream too, and then you get hit by a car. And I was like, what? But as you said, it made me think. I'm like, why did I do that? And I really did. I went out and got the ice cream because I was having some issues and whatnot, and it was a pacifier. It was a pacifier. And when you're not able to decipher that thing is controlling you and it's an addiction, you know, we have to come to the full knowledge, realizing that these different areas, they may seem, how do you say it, they may seem small at the time, but as you keep going and repeating that behavior, it becomes a habit. It doesn't have to be anything as far as like sugar. I mean, I've seen people that will sit there and eat a whole bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken by themselves. It's like, are you serious? Well, I'm not satisfied, but, yeah, I'd like to, I'm going to get something else. It's like, are you thinking about what that does to you? Because as you get full and as you go beyond full, there becomes discomfort. And that's the way you want to take in food and consume it. And I've even seen some people where they've gotten food and they fall asleep while they're eating. It's like some of the different chemicals also have unhealthy effects that we may go through. You know, tell me what you think about self-control when it comes to getting in shape.
When I think about self-control, it's definitely a discipline, and I think you kind of touched on earlier that it's a process, and being able to surrender those areas of difficulty to the Lord, you know, because a lot of times when we find ourselves in those challenging situations, whether it's trying to lose weight naturally or trying to lose the weight of different habits in our life spiritually, so it's going to take God to help us. Because when you recognize that you're out of control, that means that thing has you and you don't have it. And God wants us to have power over those things.
Yeah.
And so I believe that he has equipped us to be able to overcome. And it's the overcoming way over here in Zion. You know, we're overcoming every day. And so, but I think it starts with that first word from that letter S, and it talks about surrendering. I think it starts when we surrender that thing and we acknowledge that, hey, I need help. And so, Lord, help me in this area to discipline, to be self-controlled or bring my will under your will so that I can please you spiritually so with my life.
Yeah, it's a process. It's a process. And it can be tough. You know, change can be difficult, but it can be good, because when we're changing toward the better, toward God, because the Bible says our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and that he gave us these bodies to steward over. And when we think about it from that perspective, it gives us a better understanding that these bodies don't belong to us. So, Lord, give me what it takes so that I can be a good steward of my body and my life.
And I think it's apropos, because at times I feel like, even though I understand the value of food, I've been able to learn also the value of fasting. And I wouldn't say that I would, I don't think fasting is suffering. I think fasting is, as we were saying before, it's taking back your control. It's realizing that as for fasting and offering that up that time to the Lord. It doesn't always have to be from food. It could be from TV, from talking on the phone, hanging out or whatever. But when we're taking the time to offer that to the Lord, that opens up the door where we can allow him to give us the ability to change, to settle our bodies, to settle our minds, and understand that as we give him control and as we surrender, that gives us not only reconciliation with him, but that also acknowledges him as our headship and as the one who can give us the ability to make it. You know, I mean, it's not hard. Yeah. I don't change. I just believe sometimes because our mindset is so set that we're not accepting of the change. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Elder Brun, I believe we may have another listener on, and do you want to invite them to come in and join our conversation?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that fasting is a matter of, it teaches us to bring our body under subjection. So spiritually is how, is one of the, spiritually speaking, fasting is one of the ways of keeping our bodies fit spiritually.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard, and I think I heard someone else was talking about, like, it's difficult to try to break a habit and because you don't have control over that thing. You know, the self-control can be hard. And I think sometimes what we make a mistake is that if we give in to that thing, we give up.
Amen.
It's not for us to give up. It's just for us to teach us, okay, so something happened where you gave into that craving, or you gave into that situation, you gave into that habit that one time. That doesn't mean that you can't gain control of it. It just means that maybe you need to take little smaller steps. So sometimes when we decide that we're going to have a control over something, we go headstrong, you know, head on, and that battle, and it's really not a battle that we try to take control ourselves. When the battle isn't ours, the battle is the Lord's, and he is the only one that can help us to fight that battle.
To win
over that struggle, no matter what it is without God's help. When something has control of you, without God's help, you lose control, period.
Amen.
You know, may I ask who joined us? What is your name?
Pastor Pam.
Okay, amen. I knew them, the voice sounded familiar. Amen. We're so glad to have you with us, Pastor Pam, tonight. Amen.
You know, thank you for saying
it. It's so, I'm trying to think of the adjective. Forgive me, Lord. It's so, I guess, distant in my thoughts. Let me put it to you that way. And especially when it comes to food. And I had to really learn that any type of gluttony can lead you into a cycle of repeating mm-hmm. that same path. Because we're, I think, so generous sometimes, and because in different arenas, i.e. the church and or, you know, maybe your workplace, because we are so free with food, it can also handicap someone and not let them realize that you must do things in proportion. Now, if you sit mm-hmm. there, forgive me, Lord, because even as a child, and you could ask Evangelist Morgan, there were a couple of times we went to my grandmother's house, and oh, she could cook. She was a domestic, and she, Grandma Bishop, could throw down. So, of course, me being, you know, the baby, and I thought I could do whatever I wanted to do, I would go. It had to be a couple of Thanksgivings, and I would just eat. And then, of course, I got sick, and my father was like, what are you doing? The food's not going anywhere. But I thought that, you know, as a young person, I could eat what I want. It didn't matter. And it took me a couple of times to be really sick to understand that you cannot push your body. And I believe that that also equates, if we're talking about spirituality, you may think that you can push and push and push, but if you're not, excuse me, if you're not really honing in with the Lord and allowing him to come in to what's going on in your life or what's going on in your body, then that would send us into a different whole set of rebellion and revolt and turmoil. And in Proverbs 28:2, it says, and put a knife to your throat if you are given to appetite. And I don't think that I would want anyone to do that physically, but we need to be able to take up a spiritual knife and realize mm-hmm. that as take that spiritual knife and use it for fasting and use it for sitting down and possibly making a food journal, holding myself accountable, then that will bring me mm-hmm. not even, I mean, not that, that will bring me closer to God, because as I surrender and allow him into that little crack and crevice, and you guys know, chocolate is my thing, and after a while, when my son really got up, you need to make sure that you're doing this right. You have to have control. And I had to learn that not only the chocolate, but the sugar in a lot of things has a very, very severe and direct effect on the multiple sclerosis. And my sister had told me that years ago, even before they started printing it in the different information catalogs and whatnot. And I really had to take the time and ask the Lord, I'm like, wow, is this really, I can't have sugar, I can't have this. And then I had to turn around and say, you know what, do you want to live? Do you want to have high blood pressure? Do you want to have diabetes? And, and it took me, and I was like, wait a minute, it's just food. But again, the different chemicals, the way it's preserved, and then, you know, my inability to really limit myself. You know, and I thank God that it rocked me for a little bit, but being able to understand that our body's a temple and that God wants what's best for us, even in the dietary issue. And if we don't know, we can go and we can talk to him, because the Lord knows everything that concerns us. And he wants to make sure that as we're coming to him, number one, freely. We're coming to him willingly and understanding, you know what, God, I can't control this. Let me let you help me.
And you know, as you were talking, I was thinking that a lot of times too, getting to the root cause of it helps you to get to a place of discipline. And I think that a lot of times it's eating, the overeating and the lack of discipline sometimes has its roots in unprocessed grief and unprocessed pain and unprocessed circumstances that we haven't really processed through. We just know that there's an ache, there's a need, there's a void, there's a hurt, there's a pain. And so naturally, the fleshly side of us tries to fill that or comfort that area, when really the root cause is dealing with unprocessed issues, unprocessed hurt and pain. And I think when we get to the root of it, then we're able to turn it to God and say, Lord, this thing is going on in my life, or I have some issues in this area, or this root, this pain. And so instead of me filling it with the food or filling it with drugs or filling it with something else, Lord, I want you to come in and help me and fill me up with
yes.
you. And mm-hmm. that's what God wants to do in all of our lives, is that he wants to take the place of every void in our life. He wants to take the place mm-hmm. in every place in our life. And I
Amen.
Think when we recognize how much he loves us and that he wants to take that void, and that comes back to that word surrender again. And I believe that he just wants us to surrender every problem, every situation, put it in his hand. And you know, you really start getting victory when you can begin to acknowledge the process of that, and then give God praise in that pain.
Amen.
Give God
Amen.
Pain. Give God praise in that unprocessed hurt. And God begins
mm-hmm.
to, that fall of ground begins to get broken up. And now he
Amen.
Can begin that anointing, and that presence of God can come in and begin to work with us, you know, to be everything he would have us to be.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was getting on the brown.
Yes, yes, yes. That can be it. Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo. I got it. Are you going to say it, or are you want me to say it?
You say it.
All right. Pastor Pam preached on Sunday, and this message, it really hit home.
Yes.
She said, scars turned into beauty marks by God. Thus
oh, my, oh, my, oh, my.
Woo-hoo! Let me tell you.
My.
Another brief testimony. When I was 15
yeah.
years old, freshman year in high school, my neighbor had a Great Dane, and we had a dog that was half
uh-huh.
German Shepherd and half St. Bernard. His name was Igor. They were fighting because they were two male dogs. Now, unfortunately, my brother was in the hospital, and I had forgotten my key, so I went to my neighbor's house, long-time friend. And I had said to his brother, I said, do not let the dog in the house. He's like, why? I said, because
uh-huh.
I just walked by my dog. I don't have my house key. And the young
uh-huh.
man didn't listen. They had this beautiful big cast iron table that had a fire pit in the middle of it. And they had an L-shaped couch, and I was sitting, like, on the middle of the couch. The dog came around and immediately jumped on my face, jumped on my shoulder, jumped on my back. I had no idea what it happened so fast. But then we go down to the emergency room and whatnot. Make a long story short, I had 17 stitches in the front of my shoulder, 36 stitches in my back, and there's scars.
Oh, wow.
There's scars. Thank God, because it did keloid, but the plastic surgeon that I had said, you know what, once you get older, you really won't even notice it. And to look at it now, but I'm also equating it, thank you, Jesus, to my life and to what I've been through. And I thank God
yes.
because realizing what Pastor Pam was preaching about, she was preaching about, yes, you may get hurt. Yes, you may have scars. But God turns them into beauty marks. And what has God
yes.
done? Salvation life has been beautiful. He has been so good to me. If it goes no further than today, I thank him
yes.
because I'm still here. 32 years dealing with multiple sclerosis.
Mm-hmm.
Half of my classes are gone, the ones that had it.
Yeah.
But the revelation, and even to think about Pastor Pam and her situation and how God has brought her through, I said,
yeah.
you know what? It's apropos, it's appropriate, because as
mm-hmm.
we go through salvation walk, thank you, Jesus, there have been people
mm-hmm.
who have walked away, people who have come up and
mm-hmm.
said, no, I just thought you were drunk. Well, you know what? I'm sorry that you had that thought about me, but let me tell you about God. Let me tell you where he
yeah.
brought me from. Show you in the womb.
He takes those scars
what?
And you have
healed.
A testimony to him.
Girl.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Amen. Other people.
Wow.
And when
wow.
they see, you don't look like what you've been through. You know why? Because my God has protected me. My God has healed
yeah.
me. My God strengthened me every interval. All these doctors, oh, you know, what do you mean? You know, I have the same, I think, 10 or 15 doctors, and they look at me, and I can't, well, you know what? It's God. What do you mean? It's God.
Mm-hmm.
Let me share my faith with you. Because going mm-hmm. through this, I never have to go through something like that, but then to even witness other people, and I had said this to Pastor Pam before, she's a Lazarus in my life. She was dead, and God brought her back. Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
She needed a
yeah.
heart. God gave her heart. thank you, Jesus. She's walking, yes. talking. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. And the Lord has been faithful. And sometimes I think people think that, yes, there are sudden healings. Yes, there are sudden miracles. But the fact mm-hmm. that each and every day I can do different things, that's a healing for me. That's restoration.
Yes.
That proves to me that God, you know, and say, oh, Lauren needs this and that, you know, and I'm grateful. Because had it not been for the Lord, I'm telling y'all, forgive me, Lord, I'd have pumped out years ago, and I believe it would have devastated my family, especially after the loss of my brother. But sometimes life gets so in your face, you're like, God, what am I doing wrong? God, what did I go wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And you consult him, and sometimes, I'll be honest, sometimes I haven't heard a word. So I thank God that I've learned from especially, you know, Pastor Pam and Dr. Walter Teague and Evangelist Morgan. I've known them since I was 14, or Wanda all my life, but the other one's 14, and to see what they have gone through in their lives, and they're yet still standing, and they're yet still proclaiming Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the best way.
Mm-hmm.
He's got everything you need. Let me tell you, and that's a testimony, because there have been some people that have fallen by the wayside. You never see them again, never hear from them again.
Mm-hmm.
I thank God, and I think I said this to you before, Pastor Pam, the walk that you walk and the talk that you talk, girlfriend, I ain't mad at you.
Praise God.
Yes.
Praise God. I'll be the glory.
Amen.
As you were talking, I was thinking about our pastor what has talked about the children of Israel coming through the Red Sea, and then he was talking about different experiences that the people of God go through, and he says, and they have evidence on their feet. You know, he's talking about evidence. You know, when you walk through some mud or you walk in something, you know, you walk in a messy situation and you come out of it, you got some evidence on your feet that you walk through some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that God allows us to go through some things so we can have some evidence to show the world
mm-hmm.
that, yes, I walked through this. I walk through this pain. I walk through this loss. I walk through
mm-hmm.
this grief. But I got some evidence that God walked with me. I wasn't walking alone, but he walked me through this. And now we have a testimony. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory
yes.
to God. And that's what it's all about. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
That he's given us testimonies. Hallelujah. That the world will know that it's not about man. It's not about their ability, but it's about the supernatural ability of our God that is keeping
yes.
us and preserving us. And that, yes, and I can just imagine that sermon about the ashes, because the scripture says that he gives beauty for ashes. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And I just thank God for what he does for his people, that he doesn't even allow us to look like what we've been through. Hallelujah. And that gives us a testimony. Now we can say, if it had not been for the Lord on
yes.
our side, hallelujah,
yes.
because we got some
yes.
evidence that we've been there. Sometimes people don't even believe it, and sometimes you got to show those scars and say, no, I was shot here. I had some wounds here. Let me show you. I don't want to show them, but if I need
Jesus.
To show them, I got some
yes.
evidence. I got
yes.
some evidence.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God is a good God. Yes, he is.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
He's a good God. Hallelujah. He's making us better every day. Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes.
That
yes. is important yes. that people realize, too. Some people think that God is in the bashing business. God's going to, you know, take in, you know, those old cartoons that used to put the character and then they bang him in the head till he goes down into the sand. That's not the kind of God we serve.
No.
He is interested in everything that we're going through, whether it's, you know, physical, mental, financial. He just wants us to be able, as we had said earlier, to surrender, to let him in those cracks and crevices where we don't want anyone to know what's going on.
Mm.
And you have to remember that. Preacher to myself, excuse me, tell God. Why?
Yeah.
Tell God. Don't tell me.
Right.
If you have friends who are your confidants and whatnot, but you know what? Try God.
Amen.
Try God. Yeah. It works. Don't be like me. I play peekaboo. I play gossip. Oh, this happened. You know what? And then by the time you get to the third or fourth person, whether they're saint or not, you're so confused about your own situation, you better go back to God. Because God everything.
Mm.
And he wants us to consult him. He wants us to confide in him. He wants us to be able to acknowledge the fact that he is in control and he can do it. He can do it. Yes. Trust God.
Hallelujah.
I've only been saved 5 years. I think I haven't even scratched the crevice of it yet. I feel like I'm just learning to be more mature, to be more patient, to understand. It ain't about form or fashion. It's not about who's got the best hoopty-la dance or whatever, or stepping all across the church. Because guess what? I can't dance now, but guess what? It's coming. Why? Because I believe God. I believe in his healing. I believe in his power. I believe that he's going to reward me for my faithfulness. I thank you, Lord.
Miracle signs.
Hold on. Just wait. Hold on. Because you know what?
He that
endures until the end. That's what we need to do. Forget about who's doing what or who's wearing what or who owns what, who's got what kind of car. Because you know what? When we stand before God, he's not going to ask you to make your model and the VIN number for your car. He's going to ask you, what did you do with the kid? What did you do with that spouse?
The scripture says, throw not away that confidence because it has great recompense of reward. Amen. So you continue to hold on to your confidence in God. He that will come shall come, will not tarry. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
God honors our faith.
Thank you, Lord. And His timing is evident. You know, and I often look at a clock, and sometimes you look at the clock differently because of what you're going through. You may feel like you're in slow motion, but guess what? Slow motion is still moving. Don't park there.
Mm-hmm.
God is meet us at every interval, whether you're angry, whether you're happy, whether you're delirious, wherever you are, God meets us. And he is so ready and willing to heal us, deliver us, set us free. Thank you, God, for liberty. Because the weight of Jesus, the weight of worry can kill you.
Yes.
It can kill you, naturally and spiritually. God doesn't want us to worry. He wants us to throw over every weight that does so easily beset us, realizing, I think I've said this before, when we see that one set of footprints in the sand, he carries us. He carries us. And I'm grateful. If he has to throw me over the shoulder in a fireman's position or whatever, if he has to drag me through the sand, by any means necessary, God, I have to trust you. Because you know what? What other people are going through, everybody's situation is a different situation. And I don't want anybody to have to fight or to go through what I've been through because I don't know if you can handle it. And guess what? I don't want that for anybody. But I thank God he's given me the ability to stand. I thank God that he's given me friends and family that will say, you all right? You good?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll really, really mean it. And that makes a difference. Because holding on is the best option. The best option.
Yeah.
Wait a little while. And while you're waiting, fast and pray. And while you're waiting, refast and re-pray. Because guess what? God is going to come in his time.
Yeah.
He'll never be late. He'll never be late.
Yeah.
Amen.
As you were talking, I was thinking the scripture says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And as you share your testimony, that's healing in that. That's deliverance in that. And not only are you blessing others, but God is blessing you. And I thought about it's such a blessing to be able to have those accountability partners and sisters and brothers and family, you know, because a lot of times when people go through, what the enemy does is he hides them. He makes them think that hiding is the answer. But, you know, it's just like having a wound with a Band-Aid. You know, if you don't take that Band-Aid off and let it get some air, you know, you're causing more harm. Yes. And sometimes we just have to say, Lord, I'm taking off the cover. And, Lord, here I am. Help me, Lord. I need help. You know, put people in my way that I can talk to, you know. And that exposes that addiction. That exposes those habits. Those exposes that. And sometimes when we stay in isolation, it just gives ourselves permission to continue doing the same old, same old.
but it's such a blessing. I want to just speak to someone that may be listening. If, you know, if, I don't know if we're connected tonight, but, you know, it's so important to expose, you know, what's happening in your life to a certain extent so that others can come around you and help, you know, even if you don't tell the details, even if you, because some people can't handle the details. Sometimes you just got to give them a short version of your circumstance and just let them know, hey, I can't tell it all right now, but I need help. I need a hug. I need somebody to talk to. I need someone to encourage me. I need help. And that's when God begins to do the work on the inside. And so I thank God for what he's doing with us and with his people. And I believe that God is doing greater works, and he's going to manifest his glory in us through the pain, through the scars, through the ashes. Amen. He's doing a divine reversal in the lives of his people. So I'm so encouraged and so glad to be a part of this conversation tonight.
Amen.
I like divine reversal. I like that. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
We get his best.
Yeah.
And forgive me again, because I'll go back to the chocolate. I promise I won't say it again. Chocolate, there's different kinds of chocolate. I've even had some of the chocolate where years ago one of the salesmen sent me some chocolate from Belgium, and that was Belgian Godiva chocolate. Whoo! That it was 3 tiers of whole box. It had so much, it made a difference because I was able to understand that there's a difference between American chocolate, Swiss chocolate, chocolate from these different flavors in different areas. And God wants us to understand that no matter what we're going through, as we allow him in, fake it till you make it, no, pray till you make it, fast till you make it, sit down and be quiet and listen for God. And I guarantee you, he has something to say. He wants your attention. He wants your ear. And as the different levels of spirituality develop in us and we become more mature, we learn that different things that come towards us, it doesn't affect us as quickly. It doesn't affect us as long. Because as we build ourselves up with words, it changes our response. Tragedy, our response, triumph. Why? Because we're learning that waiting on God, that surrendering to God, full situation where the flesh will say, well, wait a minute, you know, Sally Sue did this and that. No, you know what? Tell your flesh to shut up and call on God and sup with him. And I guarantee you, he will answer you. And he will answer you in accordance with his will, which is his word. And I love that scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you to bring you to an expected end of welfare. Not welfare system, but welfare, doing well, living well. And God will withhold good things from us as we surrender. Thank you, Jesus.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
We just thank God for this. Because you know what? Each and every time, as we said before, each and every time you give your testimony, there's someone listening. There may be someone that's watching you. And I put the all call out. If you're not saved, get saved. Understanding that as you surrender your life, as you reconcile your life, and you tell God, I want you to be my father. Just like Uncle Sam says, I want you, God, to be my father.
Yeah.
I want you in me. I want you, God, and your pain, and your characteristics. As we surrender, I guarantee you, he'll meet you. There's nothing he cannot forgive. Nothing.
That's right.
No matter where you are, no matter where you've been, no matter who you've been with, no matter how you dress, no matter what car you drove, God can forgive us. Forgive us. And he wants us to be reconciled. So in accordance with, I think it's Romans 8:9-10, we have to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. We have to accept him And in accepting him, I tell you, it's the, and I'm going to use poor English, so don't crack up. It's the bestest decision I ever. He's better to me than my mother and father, and I was a spoiled brat, trust me. I had wonderful things. But guess what? God's presence in my life is far better than silver and gold, far better than a house, far better than a car. Why? Because as he has taken up time with me and given me the ability to call upon his name, to search him out through the scriptures, I've been healed. I've been built up. I've been strengthened. I've been encouraged. And I thank God, because there are so many people that feel like they're a square peg. You had to get some tea in a round hole. There are so many people that feel like, well, I don't have this and that, and I'm not in this and that, click in the church and whatnot. God's not about click. God's not about form or fast. God's about our hearts, our true seat of emotion. And he wants us, he wants us to surrender. Because in surrendering, that takes away that arrogance or that chip where, you know, I don't need God. I can do this by myself. Yeah. How's that working for you? Could you tell? You know? And don't get me wrong. I make mistakes at the dinner. Like, why? Because our flesh, when we are not built up in the word and not understanding that God has a plan. I'm not saying you have to know the plan, but just understand there's a plan. And there's a reason why he's keeping you on this course. And as you're on that course and you're surrendering and communicating with him, trust me, God will make a way.
Yeah.
And his way is for you to be safe, loved, accepted by him. I didn't say accepted by the church or by the domination. Accepted by him. Because nobody can take adoption. Nobody. Nobody. The word of God says if you make your bed in hell, he'll be there. If you're in heaven, he'll be there. What kind of God is that? Awesome. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. So take the time. Right. Pastor Pam, could you give us the invitation to salvation?
Sure.
Right. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. If there's anyone on the line and anyone listening that would like to give their life to the Lord, would like to get to know this person that we're talking about, the God that we're talking about, we just invite you now to just come to Jesus. All you have to do is ask Jesus to forgive you, to forgive you of your sins. Amen. Yes. And to acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior, and to believe and trust and believe in your heart. And as it says in Romans 10:9-10, that you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and he's the Son of God. Hallelujah. Then you are saved. You accept and you believe it. So if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, hallelujah, just believe it in your heart, and we welcome you to the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. So we pray that you just ask God to forgive you of your sin. Amen. Turn your life over to the Lord, that you're no longer the same. You're a new creature in Christ, he says.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank
so he remembers those things no more.
You're
a brand new person in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Give us a last closing thought, please, Henderson. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. This has been a great discussion. Amen. And I just want to, each one of us, that the more that we surrender to our God, the more we surrender whatever the situation, every situation, our lives, if we surrender, we make room for him. We make room for him to come in and take over. Yes. We're making space for him to come in. And so it's a wonderful thing. When you let go of something, you gain something in return. It's not just you letting go of something and you don't get anything back. But when you surrender to the Lord, he gives you peace. When you surrender to the Lord, he gives you joy. He gives you strength. He gives you enduring power. Amen. Yes. So he replaces that thing that you surrender. Amen. And so it's a wonderful thing to know that we have a servant, a Savior, and one who has become a servant, amen, that we may have life in that more abundantly. And as we surrender to him, amen, he's giving back unto us the best that we could ever have. He says, my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. He's not holding anything back from us. Hallelujah. He wants us to live a blessed, happy life, overflowing with blessings. And so we thank God for that tonight. And we thank God for each one of you tonight in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, ladies. I had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time. Thank you so much for sharing. And I just want everybody to have a good evening. If all hearts and minds are clear, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. Let us continually, positively pray for each other. Love you guys. Shalom, shalom.
Love you. Shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, then please consider sowing into this ministry. A $20 gift or more would be appreciated. You can do so through Cash App. Just use $PowerToStand or on PayPal, preacher719@gmail.com. On behalf of Bishop Richard and the Open Mic panel, I'm Nina Taylor saying have a blessed week. We'll see you soon.